This is Julie Ashton, and welcome to Hey Julie. My guest today is not only an amazing love and relationship expert, but also one of TV's most trusted astrologers. That's an interesting combination. This is Maria Shaw. Hi, Maria.
Hey, Julie. Thanks for having me today.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. So, adding astrology on top of love and relationships, that's an interesting combination.
Well, everybody wants to know about their love life.
Absolutely.
Everybody. That's the biggest question I get asked, and that's why I went in to specialize in relationships and sex anyhow, because of the fact that everybody wants to know. I don't care what age you are. You know, if you're 19, looking for your first soulmate,
sure,
or you're 65, you know, everybody wants to know about love. And it seems to have, in the last several years, a lot more men are interested in the theory of soulmates and past lives and love and what
right.
their sign is. So it's really a growing field.
Oh, that's fun. Do you think that the stars have really, I guess it's predestiny. Is that kind of the concept, is that I'm destined because I'm a Libra to have a certain love life, or...
Well, I think that with astrology is more of a science, but the art is an interpretation. And you got to remember that your astrology chart is like a map of your life, but you still drive the car. You still have power, mm-hmm. free will. But if you look at it every day, every moment, the planets are in a certain position in the sky when people are born. So we take the person's birth date, the time of birth, and the city they were born in,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of predispositioned to a certain personality trait if you're born at a specific time of the year. So Libras, they would love. They want to know about relationships. They're here to learn about balance and love. They do better in partnerships, whereas opposed maybe an Aquarius, who's more of a free spirit, may like, you know, a man or a woman for a partner, but they really don't need to be in a relationship all the time. So, yeah, I think
right.
your personality traits are determined by the stars.
Do you think, have you encountered some relationships where really the only thing that's wrong with the relationship is it's two signs that shouldn't be together?
That's a good question, because what happens a lot of times is I'll look at charts and they'll make no sense of why these folks are together. Let's say you put a Leo and maybe a Scorpio together. What? You know, it's not supposed to work.
Right.
Then you look deeper into the chart, and usually you can find there's a past life significant. And what that means is that maybe in a prior lifetime, if you believe in the theory of, you know, reincarnation, other lifetimes, mm-hmm. these two may actually be soulmates. And even if they're not astrologically compatible, there's something that they need to learn as a couple. Because we all come to our relationships for lessons, for our own soul's growth. A lot of times we think we pick our partner because of the way, you know, he looks or how sexy she is. But really, it's what our soul needs. So we're drawn to that because we need to grow as a soul and as a person. So
right.
that has a lot of explanation to it, too.
I see. Now, do you think that, okay, so year to year, this is more of a numerology thing, but is there yearly trends to astrology and love?
Oh, sure. We're starting a new trend in 2006 that's going to be very, very good for Taurus people, for instance, for love. So every year there's a new cycle, so to speak, based on your numerology, your birthday numbers,
excellent.
Based on where the planets are, that in astrology, that dictate if someone's going to have a good love year or a more challenging one. For instance, 2006, Taurus are going to have a great love life, but Aquarius people are going to have to watch it. They're going to have more challenges with 2006.
Wow. So do you want to go through, would you like to go through just the zodiac real quick? And that way every sign kind of gets a little clue as to what's going on for them?
Oh, sure.
Do you mind?
Well, we can start with Aries.
Okay, great.
Because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. And
right.
Aries folks are going to find that this is going to be a good year for sex. It's going to be a good year to get deals and steals on things if they want to make some investments. They could get more bonuses at work. So it's going to be a solid year for money,
excellent.
But money through other people.
I see.
And then if we're looking at Taurus, like I said earlier, Taurus are going to have a great year for love, especially between January and March, and then again between July and November. It's one of the best years for Taurus in 12 years to get married or meet their soulmate.
So here's some Tauruses listening, and they're very excited because this is their year. What signs should they look for, and what should they avoid?
Well, Cancer is probably one of the best signs for Tauruses, and Cancer is born late June, July, because they both want home and family. The Taurus and the Cancer are domesticated creatures. They're less likely to cheat. They're more likely to want to be home and just cuddle and nest, and it's a good sexual combination, too. Another sign for Taurus that would be good, maybe a Virgo or a Capricorn, a fellow Earth sign. Taurus, for the most part, and this is in very general sun sign terms, should avoid Leos and Aquarius. There's a square to those signs, astrologically speaking, so you have to work harder at those two signs.
Okay.
And then we have Gemini. Gemini is a fun sign. They always look younger than they are, and you're never going to be bored if you're a Gemini.
They're kooky, I think.
It's because they have Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality.
Right.
You're dealing with two people. And Geminis are going to find that this is going to be a very good year for work or meeting somebody through work, especially if they're in the health or a helping field, and an ex could come back into their life this next year, like an ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, even if they're married or not. So they have to be a little bit careful. Then we have Cancer, which is the most sensitive and psychic sign of the zodiac and the home body of the zodiac. They've had a rough 2 years, but things are getting better this year. And they're going to find that they have to be careful with money, but overall it's going to be a very strong year for new love affairs. If they want to get pregnant, it's a good year. If they want to go to Vegas a little bit. So investments, new love affairs, and children are highly favored for Cancerians.
Good to know.
Then we have Leo, and Leo has the biggest hearts of the zodiac and also the biggest jewelry boxes, okay? They like nice things. And Leos are going to go through some challenges the next 2 years. It started around July of 05, and it continues until September of 07. So Leos are going to be very, very much challenged in the next 2 years with a lot of different areas of their life. And the universe is asking them to release things that are not positive in their life, and a lot of us hang on to things we don't need.
Right.
And then it'll bring in something new and improved. So
wow.
Leos will have some tests and challenges, but know that you will be rewarded if you work hard.
Good to know. Isn't it interesting? Several of the Leos that I've met, actually, you could guess because they look kind of lion-y. You know, I mean, they've got big hair kind of, and so I don't know.
Do you think that's a Leo true? Because they have that certain brow and the broader nose, and they're very particular about their hair, the lion's mane.
Yes, that's one sign that I can usually guess someone is, you know.
And you will spot a Leo because they tend to be a little bit more dramatic, and they're very friendly, outgoing.
Right.
But they definitely belong in the entertainment field.
That's right.
And then we have Virgo. Mm-hmm. And Virgo, they are going to find that it's expect the unexpected with their relationships. It's a continuation of the same. But they will also find that there's an awful lot of good luck in regards to education and travel and trips. They may want to get a new car this year. They may find they're more into metaphysical type of topics. So overall, they can get a lot done this year. It's a good year for multitasking. And if they're single and looking, it's a good time to meet people in their own neighborhood. They don't have to look too far.
Good.
Then, of course, we have Libra. And Libras are going to find that this is going to be a very strong money year. A lot of financial gain can be theirs if they put out for it. And it may even come from two different sources. So they need to ask for raises and bonuses and promotions and start businesses. And Libras, like I mentioned earlier, are here to fall in love. And the best times for Libras for 2006 for meeting somebody is going to be late March and April, and then possibly right around the fall, right around their birthday.
Great.
And then Scorpio. We mentioned earlier Scorpio a little bit, but they're going to have a great year. They're going to have a wonderful year. It's one of the best years in 12 years because Jupiter, the planet of good luck, is moving into their sign tomorrow. And it's a very positive cycle for everything, for whether meeting somebody new or their work or their money, their health. The only problem is they could put weight on. So expand your horizons, but not your waistline, I'm telling all Scorpios.
Well, I'm a Libra, and it's leaving Libra, and
yes.
I gained weight.
Yeah, last year was Libra's year to put weight on, and now we're going to see your metabolism going back to normal, so to speak.
Oh, good.
Glad and you'll make more money, too. And then we have Sagittarius, which is a lot of fun. They're some of the biggest flirts of the zodiac, and they're always positive and upbeat, and they love to travel. And this is going to be a very good year for Sagittarius to let go of things that have been bothering them. You know, think dead-end jobs, dead-end issues, dead-end relationships. They can release the past this year with no trouble. And they're gearing up for one of their best years in 2007. So look at kind of this year as a launching pad for some of the things that they want to do, a preparation year, if you will. So if you're a Sagittarius, set your goals and start to work toward them because they could materialize in another year.
Excellent.
Then we have Capricorn. We have I think we have three more. Yeah, Capricorn.
Okay.
And Capricorn, last couple of years, have had a lot of problems in relationships. A lot of them have ended their marriages or commitments, but that's all over now. They're going to find a lot of new hope and a lot of new reasons to love again. And they're going to find that they have some good career aspects, but even better aspects with friends and contacts. The contacts that you make this year, if you're a Capricorn, will help you in a lot of areas of your life. So shake as many hands as you can. Be nice to everybody because they'll benefit you in some way. And then Aquarius. Aquarius are going to have problems the next 2 years. It's already started with relationships. The strong relationships will be very much tested. And even if they are strong, they'll still go through some struggles. But if they're strong, they will become more bonded and stronger than ever. The weak ones are going to end. And the weak ones that do end need to go. So if you're an Aquarius and you're in a dead-end relationship and you know it's not going anywhere, but there's some fear there of being alone, let it go because you will meet somebody else. And then the last one is Pisces, and by the time you get to be a Pisces, you're probably on your last lifetime anyhow because it's the last sign of the zodiac, and they live soap opera lives. There's always something going on in the lives of Pisces. And Pisces people are going to find that their relationships are going to be fairly stable this year, especially around the middle of the year. But they will find a lot of their growth is going to be in the area of spirituality. Some of them may go back to school. Some of them will be receiving very high-paid positions. Their reputation at work is very favorable. So there's a lot of growth in the outside world. They're going to have some opportunities. But Pisces' motto should be expect the unexpected because a lot of change is in store. And that kind of wraps it up.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Now we know about everybody. I love it. Now, I also want to know about your book, Soulmates and Cellmates.
Oh, that's a fun book. Yeah, Soulmates and Cellmates, it gives us all the different descriptions of the different connections that we have with our relationships. And I want to say that a soulmate doesn't necessarily have to be your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend. It's two souls walking on the same path for a very specific spiritual purpose. And we list the different soul connections, like the family connections, the soul friends, you know, the past life connections, the karmic marriages. And for all you married folks out there, there's even a chapter called Is Your Marriage Blessed or Cursed? We take the numerology, the day of the wedding, mm-hmm. and we add a formula to get. We add together the numbers of the month and the day
right.
of the wedding, and it reduces down to a single digit, and it will give us a lesson of the couple.
Wow.
And it will tell you the ups and downs of that specific marriage. And there's also a free CD in the back of the book that is a meditation CD, a guided meditation that will help you find your soulmate.
Oh, that's fun. What's the cellmate part?
Well, a lot of people ask that because they think, oh, is this a prisoner story?
Right. if you don't do it right, you're going to jail.
Cellmates, are you a prisoner of love? A lot of us stay in bad relationships where we feel like we're in love prison because we're scared to get out. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be alone. It's a financial situation. We have kids. So a lot of us stay in relationships maybe for wrong reasons. And it's how to learn to get out of a cellmate or a prison of love, so to speak, or how to deal with it better.
Right.
So there's also a chapter, just some good old advice in that as well.
Would it be as simple as changing the date of your getting married to change the relationship?
In some ways, yes. Some ways, there's certain personality traits of each partner that that's going to have an influence in the marriage. But numbers have power. Just like you were born on a certain day, kind of dictates your personality. Like being a Libra, you like peace and harmony. You know, whereas you were a Scorpio, you may be ready for a fight. So the numbers are very, very important too. Numbers have power. Like we're number one, or lucky number seven, or unlucky 13. So the day that you were married vibrates to a certain number, and that number vibrates to a certain theme in your life. So yeah, you could change your wedding date, and people have done that. I do marriage charts. People have picked dates to get
wow.
married based on numbers and astrology, so they don't have to deal with as many problems, or they can tailor the marriage more to what their needs are.
Why not? That's great.
It's just another tool that we can use, and some people say, nah, I don't know about that, but a lot of people have used it, and it works.
What about if I haven't found my soulmate I'm with somebody and maybe the numbers don't come out that we're soulmates. Should I hold off to find that soulmate or am I kind of settling if I don't?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with your own intuition. When you first meet someone that's a soulmate, there's a difference between a soulmate and an attraction or a past life connection. If it's a true soulmate, you're not going to feel jealous. You're not going to feel afraid. You're not going to feel anxious, like, oh, my God, I don't want to lose them. You're going to come from a place of a feeling of peace, like, I feel familiar with this person. I feel like I've come home. It's unconditional love. You feel a sense of peace, like a void has been filled. Mm-hmm. If it's just a regular past life connection or a kind of a lustful type thing, you're going to feel more jealous and more anxious, like, I got to be with this person all the time, you know. So I think there's a difference between the two. If you know in your heart there's a void that person that you're with is not filling, and you know that there's somebody else out there for you, then I would say don't settle. And your soulmate doesn't have to come to you when you're 22 or when you're 34. Right. Your soulmate may show up when you're 65 or 55. It may be that you have to go through a lot of living to get to that point, and it may be that your soul's made an agreement to come back together at a certain time to meet up too.
So trust your heart.
Exactly. Go with your gut instinct. Your heart will not lie to you. Your head may try to lie to you and try to convince you this is right and that's right and you should settle, but your heart will not lie.
Beautiful. All right, I'm going to be a little selfish because I just got married this year. So can I give you the date and can you tell me the number?
You sure can. Go ahead and give me the date.
June 18th, 2005.
Okay, so I'm going to add those two together.
This
marriage is built on a foundation that is really supposed to be a traditional type of marriage. Now, I'm not saying the couple, each individual is traditional, but you two have come together to build a solid home and family. So your lesson is to build a family, to include friends and family in your life, possibly to have children if that's part of your path, and to grow as a couple. Your dreams should be individual, but also you should have a goal or a dream for each other. If you guys are off doing your own things and not meeting in the middle or not having at least one common goal, it's not going to work. If one of you is traveling all over and you're gone all the time, it's not going to work, because the premise of this marriage is to have the home and the family. You can still have your careers, but you've got to have that traditional type of marriage as well.
That makes sense. It just that sounds just like us.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
And what, you're a Libra, and what's your husband's birthday?
Sagittarius.
Oh, very good. That's very compatible. Mm-hmm. You guys are also going to be best buddies too.
Yeah,
but he's going to be a debater. I'm telling you, Julie, he's going to be a debater. I don't mean arguer, but he'd be an excellent lawyer. Let me tell you.
Oh, and you were mentioning the flirt. Holy cow.
Oh, he's nice to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
But he'll be a lot of fun. Let's just say you guys won't be bored. That's
for
sure.
That is true. Tell me about your show, Affairs of the Heart.
Well, my show is broadcast every Sunday night in mid-Michigan on a local radio station here, but you can also download it from my website, mariashaw.com.
Excellent.
Podcast there. And it's an hour-long talk show, and anybody can call in and ask a question about their love life. We use astrology, numerology, and good old common sense. And comedian Jimmy Hamm, who's been on HBO, he's also my guest host. And so we take calls from all over, and we talk about love and life and lust and where the moon is that day and what's coming up for the year. So it's a fun show, and we have callers that will call in and want to be put on hold for 2 or 3 hours. We can't do that. So your best bet is to call 5 minutes before it airs, 7 p.m. Eastern time, and be put on hold.
And I can find out more and more about it at mariashaw.com, right?
That's right. Correct. You can also get the book there, too, and there's some free love predictions also on the site.
Ooh, I like that. What about Sex and the Stars?
Well, Sex and the Stars, there's a lot of sexual chemistry amongst certain signs, and then there's some that you feel like you're living with your brother or your sister. Let's say, for example, you put two Virgos together. It's just too comfortable. Eventually, the passion will very, very likely fizzle unless the couple does something to reengage, you know, the relationship. And certain signs that normally would not get along, like as far as compatibility, we were talking about Leo and Scorpio earlier, may actually find there's a lot of sexual chemistry. But beyond that, they may have some trouble. So some signs are very sexual compatible. And I'll tell you, the best sign, they always say, this is they're known for, Scorpios are supposed to be the sexiest sign in the zodiac.
You know what? I was just going to say that. I had a Scorpio lover that, to this day, I'm still amazed.
Once you have a Scorpio, it'll be like, everybody else doesn't compare, but don't tell your husband that, okay?
I know, he can't hear that part.
Right.
Because,
but,
you know.
But in the Sagittarius, they're a lot of fun, too. They're supposedly good in bed. But Scorpio is supposed to be the hottest lover, and then Taurus comes in second because they have a lot of stamina. So you put a Scorpio and a Taurus together, oh my gosh,
burning
if you want to have a
house.
Good sexual experiment.
That's funny.
And Pisces like to please. A lot of Pisces, though, have fetishes, especially foot fetishes. But Pisces like to please, so they're usually pretty good in bed, too, I would imagine. I haven't had a Pisces, though. Libra, they are very romantic, so that they want a lot of romance.
Yeah,
you know?
The flowers and the candles and the perfect setting.
Yeah, making memories, you know. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have Leos who do everything in a grand way. They're very generous, you know, with their time and with their body and what they do. But they're also people that like to be pleased. So if you're with a Leo, you may end up sometimes feeling like the servant in bed, but that's not always a bad thing, okay? So I would say that, you know, some signs, they all have their own likes and dislikes sexually, but those are the funnest ones to talk about.
How about Gemini? We all know a redheaded friend of mine that is a Gemini. I want to know what kind of sexual partner she is.
Well, Geminis can swing both ways. Pisces, Gemini, and Libras, too. They can swing both ways sometimes. But Geminis like a lot of dirty talk. They like and they like to role play, too.
Okay.
Geminis have a very, very good imagination. And for Geminis, a lot of it's in the mind. You know, how they think, and they can visualize things, and they can be with one partner, but they can also have something else going on in their mind. You know, so a lot of fantasies for Geminis.
Ooh, very nice. Any sign that, I hate to say this, but that's a bad lover?
I don't think there's necessarily a thing as a bad lover. Okay. I think it's what their motivation is.
Right.
You know, Virgo, we always tease as the virgin, you know, because they're inhibited. But you know what? You give a Virgo a couple drinks and they're out of here. You know, they're going to town, you know. So Virgos can be a little bit inhibited. They can be a little bit more shy. But, you know, you put them in the right mood, I think they'll get the job done.
And how about Aries?
Aries are fast and furious. They have a lot of energy. They fall head over heels in love. They don't want to wait for anything. They're impatient. When they are into sex, it's like, woof, you know, it's just like a ball full of fire.
But it doesn't last.
I'm saying that
because my friend is here. Yeah, he's an Aries, so I'm giving him a hard time.
The thing with an Aries is they love the chase. They love the chase. I think the momentum for an Aries is the build-up, the chase, the conquer. And after that, you have to keep that chase going for an Aries. You got to keep teasing them or they lose interest.
I hear you. Interesting. So tell me more about also now diet. You've got another book. Not only relationships and sex can be helped through the stars, but now eating to lose weight through the zodiac.
Right, Julie. My second question that I get asked the most, my first question is when am I going to meet my soulmate or get married? My second question is when am I going to lose this weight? And as you know, being a Libra, you could have put some weight on last year because that was one of the biggest years in 12 years for Libras to gain weight. Well, the diet book that came out this last couple weeks is called Maria Shaw's Astro Diet. And we tell each sign when is their best days, months, weeks, even years to lose and gain weight. And each sign has different food addictions, different diets that work for them. That's why, let's say, the Atkins may work for a Sagittarius, but it may not work for a Cancer.
Wow.
So we did a diet study in July, and we took two people from each sign. So we had about 24 people all over the country, and we worked with the moon and astrology, full moons and new moons, things like that, and we put them on a program, and everybody lost weight. And I would think that the Pisces would be the one to cheat the most because Pisces have no boundaries.
Right.
This girl in Chicago lost 14 pounds in 1 month. Our Virgo, which is a food addiction sign, lost 18 pounds in 1 month.
Wow.
And we have a Capricorn that is still on the program, and in 3 months she lost 28 pounds. But it's just basic common sense with working with kind of like a forecast. How you get a forecast for your life,
sure.
Just a forecast for your diet, how you'll feel 2 weeks from now. If you know you're going to cheat on Monday, you're going to prepare yourself not to. If you know it's a good day to exercise, you know, you'll plan. So it's planning ahead based on astrology.
Wow. So for the whole year, you're going to tell me, like, when to have that extra piece of cake and when to absolutely do not.
Right, and in the book, starting with January 1st of 2006 and until New Year's Eve of 2006, every day there's a calendar in there that will tell you what the day is going to be like as far as a diet, dieting, weight loss, how you're going to feel, if you're apt to cheat. So you can look ahead 3 months to see if you'll be successful or not. And, you know, forewarned is forearmed. If you know it's going to be a hard day, you might, you know, eat earlier in the day. You may avoid a party. You might, right. So you're not going to overeat. You may go to bed earlier so you don't sit in front of the TV and munch, you know.
Wow. Now, these people that were your test subjects that lost all this weight, did they change their diets too, or mainly when and where they ate and things like that?
Well, the preface of this was they could choose any diet that had been effective for them before.
Okay.
That they could not stay motivated on. And most of us eat because we're emotional, we're bored, we're upset, we're happy. We eat based on our emotions rather than we're hungry.
Right.
And astrology and the moon is really based on our emotions. Wherever the moon is, it dictates our emotions. So they did their diet, and then what I did was counsel them through the emails we did on the study of how they would feel, and so they were able to stick to their program longer. We didn't even incorporate exercise until they hit a plateau around the third week.
Wow.
So, like I did Atkins, I lost 16 pounds in 1 month. I started the Atkins and I started exercising the third week. And as long as you follow it and you know how you're going to feel and you know what the astrological aspects are coming up, you can stick to something. The biggest thing is people don't know what's coming up the next day. Is there going to be a sudden surprise? Is there going to be a party that I'll have to overindulge it? Am I more likely to feel emotional and want to drink tonight?
Right.
So these things are all discussed and they're prepared ahead of time.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I am definitely getting that at your website, mariashaw.com. And it's called Maria Shaw's Astro Diet.
Yes.
Wow. How many books do you think you have for sale there?
I have about 8 books on the website that are for sale. Most of them are on relationships and love, but this will be the first, you know, diet type of book, and we're hoping
Excellent.
To do a follow-up study too.
Oh, I love it. And also, I was selfish with my predictions and things like that, but you can get individual readings at your site also.
Yeah, you sure can. If they want to click on services, and then they can call me at my office. And if anybody mentions your show, I will give them a $100 discount off the hour reading. But they do have to mention your show, Julie.
Wow, that is awesome. Thank you so much. So just mention, hey, Julie, but be sure to go to mariashaw.com. And, you know, a lot of people don't even know anything about astrology. This is a great place to start because you could be sabotaging yourself and not even know it.
Right, and if you know, you know what's coming up in your life, if there's a good opportunity, you'll know when to take it. If there's a challenge, a challenging period coming up, you'll know maybe to hold back, or that you may react to it differently, whether that being a surprise. So astrology is a great tool to use to enhance your life. I wouldn't say live by it day to day, but use it as a tool to enhance, you know, what you're already doing.
Hey, why not be as in control of your life as you possibly can?
Right? Forewarned is forearmed. That's what I always say.
I love it. Maria, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you again, and good luck with your show.
Thank you very much. You too.
All righty. We hope to talk again then.
Take care, Maria.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was an awesome lesson. Find out your website or find out your zodiac sign and learn more. We'll see you next time here on JulieLand.com.